You're listening to the Talk of ABC Green
News.
Bay.
WGBW
1590 AM Denmark. W250 Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic
one
Media
of them
app.
In St. Louis, police say one teen died and nine others were shot and injured after an overnight party in the city's downtown. Chief Robert Tracy says many of those victims were underage.
We're hearing almost 8 out of the 11 were juveniles. Ages 15 to 19. 1 o'clock in the morning in an office building that we're trying to figure out who had authority to it. And we also know that this might have been a social gathering through social media that was direct message to individuals. It was planned in advance.
Police chief says one person is in custody. The FBI and Kansas law enforcement still investigating and testing letters containing suspicious white powder, more than 90 mailed to dozens of state lawmakers and other government officials. And another round of volatile storms sweeping across parts of the South. In Oklahoma, utility crews working to restore power to more than 200,000 customers. This is ABC News. Calling the current drug manufacturing system broken, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's time for Congress and the FDA to act to help end the national shortage of nearly 300 critical drugs, including for cancer and ADHD.
The shortages are up a whopping 30% compared to last year.
Schumer calling for new laws requiring drug makers to be more transparent. A college basketball coach resigned from his job less than a year after he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame basketball. Basketball coach Bob Huggins said in a statement, "My recent actions do not represent the values of the university or the leadership expected in this role." He resigned from his job coaching West Virginia University one day after he was arrested in Pittsburgh on suspicion of DUI. 6 weeks earlier, Huggins had been sanctioned by West Virginia after he used an anti-gay slur during a radio interview. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Huggins was previously arrested for DUI in 2004. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Diamond Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 a.m. and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new annual report says kids in Wisconsin are doing better than most around the country. But as Mike Moan reports, there's room to do better.
The research from the Annie E. Casey Foundation now includes firm data from post-pandemic years, giving policy groups and nonprofits a better sense of how childhood development was affected by the crisis. Emily Miota of the statewide policy group Kids Forward says Wisconsin ranks 10th in the nation for overall child well-being, but she adds it's clear that many families are still struggling and not lending added support will only worsen outcomes.
Parents need jobs with family-sustaining pay, affordable housing, but when parents are unemployed or are earning low wages, their access to resources to support their kids' development is more limited.
The report says 13% of Wisconsin children are living in poverty, and Miota says the crisis has exacerbated disparities in economic well-being. Nationally, there were worsening trends in reading and math scores and more kids whose parents lack secure employment. There's also been a significant increase in the number of babies born at low birth weights. One of the main themes from this year's report was the lack of access to affordable child care. The Casey Foundation's Leslie Bossier says there are significant challenges.
Affordability for families is a huge challenge. And at the same time, early child care workers are among the lowest paid in the country.
In 2021, Wisconsin's average cost of center-based child care for a toddler was more than $12,000. That's 11% of the median income for a married couple and 36% of a single mother's income in the state. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Morning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Crudy is off today. It is his birthday. Happy birthday, Crudy. Hope you have a wonderful day. I expect to see you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here tomorrow for Trump's arraignment. You can join us on the phones during the happy hour at 844-967-2789. Going to get into the meat, of course, of the conversation over the weekend and today. What everyone's saying, how the mega community is reacting to Trump's indictment. And a lot of it's been, oh, what about Hillary? You know, all the whataboutism. But, you know, I think there are going to be some times, perhaps in your immediate future, where you're going to have a conversation with someone in this regard. How are you going to respond? And so we have some articles I want to get to. We have some sound from Republicans, you know, not from the communist, Marxist, socialist, you know, whatever you call anyone who's not Omega anymore. Or let's not forget Rhino, because you could be Omega, but if you do the wrong thing at the wrong time, then you're a Rhino in hell. That's almost worse than being a socialist, communist, Marxist in Omega's world. To be one of them and to be cast aside. Dirty little secret, Omega, y'all going to get cast aside because that's what Trump does. There is no loyalty, but you'll learn that in due course. You can join 844-967-2789. To this point, Delvin Barrett writing at the Washington Post today. Why Trump was charged on secret documents and Clinton, Pence were not. The former president does not face illegal retention charges for the classified documents he returned to the National Archives. What? Let's get to it. When Donald Trump was indicted last week on charges of willful retention of classified documents, many Republicans, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, cried foul, arguing that the Justice Department was treating the 45th president differently than it has Democrats who've been investigated over possible mishandling of national security secrets. But the Trump indictment itself helps explain the difference between his case and other high-profile probes, like those of Hillary Clinton, President Biden, former Vice President Mike Pence, not for what it charges, but for what it doesn't. Trump faces 31 counts of willful retention of national defense information, a crime delineated in the Espionage Act that carries a maximum prison sentence of 10 years. Each count represents a different, highly sensitive document that Trump allegedly kept at Mar-a-Lago, his Florida residence, and private club. 21 of those documents, including some involving nuclear secrets, No one knows the horror of nuclear better than I.
Were found by FBI agents who searched the estate in August, yielding a total of 102 classified documents, according to the indictment. The other 10 willful retention charges stem from a batch of 38 classified documents turned over to the FBI last June in response to a grand jury subpoena. Well, maybe they best better, but would have been better if they weren't found, if there just were none, right, Trump? But the historic investigation into the former president was precipitated months earlier in January of 22, when the former president gave 15 boxes of papers to the National Archives and Records Administration. The agency had been seeking all presidential records from Trump since he left office. Inside the boxes, archivists found 197 classified documents, some extremely sensitive. The government alleges in court filings that discovery set in motion a chain of events that led to the unsealing Friday of a 38-count indictment against Trump and Walt Nauta, a trusted servant. And for the record, let's pause here for a moment. First time I have seen in the reporting that it's a 38-count indictment, although Maggie Dawn and the Devil's Advocates, more Maggie Dawn, pointed that out last Friday. Thank you, Maggie. She'll be up next. Make sure you stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show, 6 to 7. But I continue on from the reporting at the Washington Post. The 38-count indictment seal, 38-count indictment against Trump. Notably, now note this, notably, however, the indictment does not charge Trump with the illegal retention of any of the 197 documents he returned to the archives. The indictment does not charge Trump with the illegal retention of any of the 197 documents he returned to the archives. And what was that? January, what, August? When did this go down? Inside the boxes, they found, 197 classified documents, some extremely sensitive. So, he turned them over and he was not charged for them. As the reporting says, that shows that if Trump had simply returned all the classified documents he had, he probably never would have been charged with any crimes, said Robert Mintz, a former federal prosecutor. Quote, "This is not a case about what documents were taken. It's about what former President Trump did after the government sought to retrieve those documents," said Mintz, who noted that willful retention cases often hinge on how much evidence prosecutors can find that a person deliberately hid material or refused to give it back. The indictment offers anecdote after alleged anecdote charging the former president sought to hide and keep some of the classified papers, so much so that Trump and Nauta are accused of conspiring to obstruct the investigation and scheming to conceal the truth, not just from the government, but even from Trump's own lawyer. Those allegations include moving boxes out of a storage room, telling an attorney to search that room for classified materials without saying that dozens of boxes were being kept elsewhere, suggesting an attorney hide or destroy documents that had been subpoenaed, and causing another person to make false statements about whether all the classified documents had been produced. Mintz says this, "That's not the kind of evidence you typically find in a case like this, and it's certainly not the type of evidence so far that has come out of the Biden investigation or the Clinton email server case." According to the indictment, Trump ruminated about Clinton, the Clinton case, in May of 22 as he discussed how to respond to the subpoena he had just received. As a presidential candidate running against Clinton in 16, he had railed against her use of a personal email server to conduct government business while working as Secretary of State, an arrangement that led to classified information being stored on a non-classified, non-government computer server. Clinton's case was also different from Trump's in another key respect. While the email chains discussed classified topics, they were not classified documents in the traditional sense, with extensive markings and acronyms. But when discussing his own possible mishandling case last year, Trump seized on another facet of the Clinton probe, that attorneys for Clinton have reviewed more than 60,000 emails and turned over about 30,000 to the government officials because they were deemed related to her official duties. Clinton's lawyers deleted the rest, about 30,000 emails, after deeming them personal and unrelated to her work. It has long been standard practice in the federal government for officials to review their own correspondence in response to Freedom of Information Act requests and decide which of their emails are personal and therefore not turned over. In Clinton's case, her lawyers did that for her. Probably a good idea, Secretary Clinton. As a candidate for president, Trump denounced the decision to delete the emails. In July of 2016, he notoriously declared on a news conference, quote, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. When the grand jury subpoena for any classified documents arrived at his door, however, Trump expressed a very different view to his lawyer, according to the indictment, praising Clinton's lawyer for deleting the 30,000 emails. He praised Clinton's lawyer for deleting the 30,000 emails. The Clinton lawyer, Trump allegedly said on May 23rd of 22, quote, was the one who deleted all of her emails, the 30,000 email, because they basically dealt with her scheduling and her going to the gym and her having beauty appointments. And he was great. And so she didn't get in any trouble because he said that he was the one who deleted them. Trump related the story more than once that day, the indictment notes dryly. I really don't think there's any plausible comparison between the Trump case and the Hillary case, said Robert Kellner, a veteran D.C. attorney. The key difference is that the Hillary Clinton case, as we learned from the Department of Justice Inspector General report, there was no evidence that Hillary Clinton sought to obstruct justice. The focus of the Trump indictment is on his rather stark effort to obstruct justice. That is the fundamental difference. Kellner is critical of how the FBI handled aspects of the Clinton case, arguing that at times the agency pulled punches when it came to investigating the conduct of some of those around her. But he said those criticisms do not change the fact that Trump appears to have repeatedly tried to keep documents he could not legally have, while Clinton did not. Trump appears to have repeatedly tried to keep documents he could not legally have, while Clinton did not. They have essentially game, set, match against Trump based on the evidence in the indictment. Kellner cautioned, however, that he expects Trump's lawyers will fight hard, potentially trying to convince at least one juror that the former president should not go to prison over the documents case. He said there was a very real chance Trump's team could obtain a mistrial, no matter how compelling the evidence. Comparing the Trump indictment to the ongoing investigation of Biden is more difficult, partly because fewer facts are known about the current president's possession of classified documents when he was out of office. The Justice Department began investigating the matter late last year when roughly a dozen classified documents were found at a think tank office in Washington that Biden had used before becoming president, suggesting the papers may have dated to his time as vice president. Weeks after that discovery, a small number of classified documents were also found at Biden's Wilmington home. Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel, Robert Hur, to investigate whether any crimes were committed. Biden's lawyers say they have cooperated at every step of the investigation and readily returned all classified materials found in the house and the Wilmington house, the office and the Wilmington house. An FBI search of Biden's home, turned up no classified papers. The Pence case also points to key distinction in the national security probes involving presidents, former top officials, or presidential candidates, that it is not so much what is taken, but what is kept. Just a week before the Trump indictment, the Justice Department notified Pence that it had closed an investigation to whether he mishandled classified information. FBI agents conducted a consensual search of Pence's Indiana home in February after lawyer Fort Pence found a small number of potentially sensitive documents. The FBI search turned up one additional classified document. All the materials were quickly turned over to government authorities, Pence's lawyer said. Days after the Justice Department closed the case, Pence formally announced his 2024 bid for president. He joined a crowded field, and with Trump is the front runner. Trump returned 197 documents. He didn't get charged for those. He got charged for keeping the others and for obstruction. That is the difference. We are the difference. You are the difference. Join us 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to the line at 844-967-2789. Once again, to reiterate some of the points I have been making, I'm going to do it once again. Trump, in January 22, he turned over 15 boxes to the National Archives. In those boxes, they found 197 classified documents, some of them extremely sensitive. He was not charged for their illegal retention of any of those documents. If he would have turned them over, he wouldn't be here. This is of his own making, and we can speculate about the motivation. We all know what the motivation is. It's money, money, money. But again, this is of his own accord. He did this to himself. 844-967-2789. Eric, oh Lord, I'm stuck in Lodi again. Welcome, Eric. What do you got for us?
Yeah, hey, so just like you pointed out in your last segment and just now, yes, this is a problem of Trump's own making, but it's also important, you know, the why he's charged is not the only important thing, it's the how he was charged. He keeps blaming the Biden administration or the Biden Justice Department, and It was a grand jury in Florida made up of ordinary, everyday people that was presented evidence, and they were the ones that indicted Trump. They were the ones that felt that there were crimes serious enough to indict him. So it's not just about the why, it's about the how. And don't let people get away with saying, oh, it's a partisan witch hunt. It's not.
Eric, it is a great point. Thank you for making it. And I think we should make it over and over and over again. This is not, you know, King Biden waving his hand and ordering his general to go arrest his, you know, competitor general, you know, his rival general. That's not what this is. We do have a Justice Department. And perhaps maybe if it was Bill Barr, you might think so. But again, Eric, to your point, these are made up of just, you know, people off the street. I've been on a jury. I haven't been on a grand jury before, but I've been on a jury. You know, you're picked. You go do your thing. You listen to the evidence and you make a determination. And perhaps, yes, it's, you know, it's always harder to you can indict a ham sandwich, right? Because there's no defense of the evidence being shown. So ultimately, you're absolutely right. These are essentially his peers. These are his fellow citizens, and not from Washington, D.C., but from Florida, man. So, you know, at least politically, you got to assume at least half are down for the Donald. And they still came back with the indictment. I think that says a lot. And whatever, also, anytime you're able to pierce the lawyer-client privilege veil,
That is telling. I mean, so Trump was trying to, you know, get his guy to break the law with him. Now, whether Trump knows that, quote unquote, or is ignorant of it, quote unquote, I don't know if it really matters. That's the gangster in, you know, the gangster style that is Donald Trump. You get around him enough, he's going to pull you into the schemes, man. That's what it is. And people love the money. They love the access. So you're a little more perhaps malleable with what you think and what you do when you're around guys like that. But ultimately, Eric, thank you for pointing it out. And people, please remember that Trump was indicted not by Joe Biden, not by Merrick Garland, hell, not even by Jack Smith. Trump was indicted by citizens doing their duty, everyday average Florida citizens looking at the evidence and making a determination. And he has his right. Trump will get his time in court, but that's who indicted Trump. It wasn't Biden. 844-967-2789. Tom from LA. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, buddy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government.
Yep.
And we must never forget that. Happy birthday to Crudy. Talked to him a little bit earlier. And happy birthday to you in 2 days.
No, thanks, brother.
I wanted to wish you happy birthday as well. No, you've come a long way, buddy.
What am I smoking Virginia Slims over here? What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about.
I used to steal my mother's Virginia Slims, just for the record. I did. Virginia Slim menthol lights. It was a thing, but you know, you got to take what you can get. I also drink the cream de mint because I didn't have any beer in the house.
There you go. I just think that also I think Bernie Sanders has had an effect on you in terms of, you know, being for we the people. And yeah. I really think that, you know, at one time I think you were actually not in favor of, but you didn't really see the dramaticness of the money in politics and how bad that was for our whole political system. And I think now you totally see, you know, what it is. And yes. I want to congratulate you on that growth, because honestly, that is the yarn, that is the string that has got this whole problem in politics, which is money in politics, Citizens United, Buckley versus Vallejo, Citizens United and First National Bank versus Blatty, if you go back to when Reagan had the Powell Amendment and everything like that. So just again, happy birthday to you guys. People, please get out there and just believe in yourself. And believing in yourself means not giving money to the industrial complex from the, you know, taxes that we pay. It should really be going back to we the people. If you believe in the return on investment, and if you are what you, you know, claim to be, which is either small business owner or whatever, it's about return on investment. And I just don't understand why the return on investment always goes to the wealthiest people in this country rather than going for the middle class or even a millionaire. You know, nowadays it's just the billionaire class, and it's only a few families. So please wake up and start voting in your own self-interest and your own interest. And if Donald Trump is not, you know, at the end of this process put in jail, then we truly are a society where the emperor has no clothes. And nobody's been able to point out that, unfortunately, this man is naked. So thank you very much, Dom. Love all the callers, Jeannie and Bill. And God, we haven't heard from Betsy in a long time, Jake, and, you know, everybody that makes the show go. So,
well, and thank you, Tom. And thank you for continually bringing up those very important issues. Money and politics, very important, very, very important. You don't hear people talk about it a whole lot. Thank you, Bernie, for that. Also, the redistricting. A lot of these things are dry, seemingly out of range. They're not. Be aware. Come back. 844-967-2789.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A deadly weekend due to gun violence and separate shootings across the country, one of them in St. Louis. Police say one teen died and 9 others were shot and injured after an overnight party in the city's downtown. Chief Robert Tracy says many of those victims were underage.
We're hearing almost 8 out of the 11 were juveniles, ages 15 to 19. 1 o'clock in the morning in an office building that we're trying to figure out who had authority to it. And we also know that this might have been a social gathering through social media that was direct message to interviews. It was planned in advance.
Police chief says one person is in custody. The FBI and Kansas law enforcement still investigating and testing letters containing suspicious white powder, more than 90 mailed to dozens of state lawmakers and other government officials. And another round of volatile storms sweeping across parts of the South. In Oklahoma, utility crews working to restore power to more than 200,000 customers. This is ABC News.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
The Todd Almaz Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Almaz Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Folks, we see you there. Be patient. We will get to you. I want to throw out some of the sound. I've been working so hard for me after taking my text this morning. I do appreciate it. Jim Jordan, I believe was on with Dana Bash, CNN. I want to play some of the Republicans' response. I know there's some Republicans listening. Let's hear what other Republicans had to say. Let's start with Jim Jordan, if you would, please. Trump lying to you. Is that acceptable? Cut number one, please.
Dana, the standard is clear. The standard is Navy versus Egan, a 1988 case, unanimous decision from the court that Justice Blackmun wrote the opinion. And it said the president's ability to classify and control access to national security information flows from the Constitution. He decides. He alone decides. He said he didn't classify this material. He can put it wherever he wants. He can handle it however he wants. That's the law. That's the standard. And Jack Smith can do all this 37 different counts or whatever he wants to do, but that doesn't change the standard that the Supreme Court in a unanimous decision said was that. He can classify and he can control access. He has the sole authority.
Let's assume Jim Jordan's absolutely correct on that. Quoting the case, you know, Jim Jordan. Unfortunately, Trump's on tape saying he did not declassify some of these documents. Cut number two, please.
Dana, he has said time and time again he's declassified all this material. This is the most political thing I have ever seen. They have been out to get president. They're indicting President Trump on Tuesday for having material that he declassified that was protected by the Secret Service. People who are doing it is the administration, the Justice Department, from his opponent in the upcoming presidential election. This is as political as it gets. Okay. And frankly, Dana, it's part of a pattern. We've seen it time and time again with the president over the last 7 years. They try one thing, then they try another, and they continue to go after him. And I think anyone with common sense can see that.
And again, to our caller Eric's point, it wasn't Joe Biden. It wasn't Merrick Garland. It was a bunch of Floridians, you know, probably some Florida guy. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't Biden, man. But I get how you would think that, you know, coming from the, you know, Trump administration and Bill Barr. But I digress. Cut number three, last one. You're welcome, Jim Jordan.
I go on the president's word, and he said he did. And the Supreme Court said that's what counts. So we can have all the things Jack Smith wants to say, but everyone sees this for the political operation it is. The standard is the standard. I didn't set the standard. The Constitution and the Supreme Court did, and they did it in a unanimous fashion.
And that's all fine and dandy. And it lets us wrap that little part up. The indictment isn't concerning about classification levels. Nothing to do with it. That's one of the reasons they went at it the way that they did. So this whole argument, that whole back and forth of Jim Jordan with Dana Bash, moot. It's not about the classification or non-classification. That has nothing to do with it. The 197 docs he gave back, he didn't get charged for those. Weird how that works. All right, let's keep going a little bit more on this. Bill Barr, why not charge him via the Presidential Records Act? Here, cut number five, please.
Charge and other federal statutes that were used here.
Well, it started out under the Presidential Records Act and the archives trying to retrieve documents that Trump had no right to have. But it quickly became clear that what the government was really worried about were these classified and very sensitive documents. I was shocked by the degree of sensitivity of these documents and how many there were, frankly.
And how about charging under the Espionage Act versus the Presidential Records Act? Let's hear cut number six, please.
The government's agenda was to get those, protect those documents and get them out. And I think it was perfectly appropriate to do that. It was the right thing to do. And I think the counts under the Espionage Act that he willfully retained those documents are solid counts. Now,
willfully, the count that he willfully retained, that's a solid count. Yeah, Bill Barr, man. What? I know it's a CYA, Eric, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll take the truth when we can get it. One more, I believe, from Bill Barr, cut number seven.
I do think we have to wait and see what the defense says and what proves to be true. But I do think that even half what Andy McCarthy said, which is if even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning.
Very detailed, very damning. What else? Perfectly appropriate to get those documents back. And again, based on the charging, based on the reporting, if Trump would just gave them back, he would not be in the situation that he is. Again, I'm not going to clear. Who knows what the motivation is, but this is of his own doing. Let's skip on Lindsay. I want to get down to Turley. Jonathan Turley, he is a big right-wing supporter. Let's hear what Turley had to say. Cut 12, please.
Yeah, Shannon, the problem is that he's got to run the table. He's 76 years old. All the government has to do is stick the landing on one count, and he could have a terminal sentence. You're talking about crimes that have a 10 or 20-year period as a maximum. The evidence here is quite strong. Now, we haven't heard their other side. Generally, these indictments are a lot stronger on the day they're issued mm-hmm. than the next day. So they may be able to knock down some of these issues. But some of this evidence is coming from his former counsel. And these are very damaging statements that have made against him. It may be hard to move those. The fact is, both things may be true. Yes, the Department of Justice may have been out to get him, but he made it easy. I mean, if you look at what is being described in this indictment, confronted with someone that he felt was trying to get him, he couldn't have made it more easy for them to do so.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a trend. What did Jim Jordan say? All they've been doing is going after Trump. Yeah, because Trump is Trump, or Trump keeps doing illegal things. So, yeah, impeached twice, indicted. And I mean, come on. This is your leader. This is the one. This is the man you're gonna die on the wall for. This is the man you're gonna try to protect in your civil war. Really? Oh my God. Let's hear a little bit more. Who do we got? That was Jonathan Turley. Trey Gowdy also. Again, a huge right winger. Let's hear here. That's cut number 13, please.
Well, the most damning piece of evidence to me is the audio tape. I mean, you want to talk about consciousness of guilt. You want to talk about knowledge and intent. I mean, those are the darlings of a prosecutor's nursery. And that came from President Trump's own mouth. So, look, I think Jonathan is exactly right. But here's what I think people are wondering. Jack Smith brought up Hillary Clinton. Brett Hume didn't bring her up. You didn't bring her up. I didn't bring her up. Jack Smith included that in the indictment. So is it therefore relevant how the Bureau and Department treated Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump in a trial? Will a jury ever get to hear about the disparate treatment? Because, look, like O.J. Simpson, the police can frame a guilty person. Both of those can be true. The police framed you and you were guilty. And I'd be curious what a jury does with that.
What an awesome, awesome clip.
Wow. So I mean, Trey Gowdy going to the OJ case. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. What, dude? Wow. Okay. And then there's Lindsey Graham losing his rigging mind. Let's hear cut number 10, please.
Well, here's what I believe. We live in an America where if you're the Democratic candidate for president, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, you can set up a private server in your basement to conduct government business. And when an investigation is had about your activity. No, let me finish.
Oh,
but you didn't answer the question.
That was ridiculous. Well, yeah, I'm trying to answer the question from a Republican point of view. That may not be acceptable on this show. Yes, I don't like what President Trump did in certain aspects. I don't like that Joe Biden had classified information on the garage. I don't like that Mike Pence carelessly took classified information. I don't like any of that. But what I don't like is a system in America where the Secretary of State, who's a Democratic candidate for president, has people take a hammer to social media devices and break them apart, apply bleach bit to a hard drive to erase emails, allow classified information to get on a felon's computer, Anthony Weiner. You haven't even mentioned that. Most Republicans believe we live in a country where Hillary Clinton did very similar things and nothing happened to her.
As we pointed out, there are not very similar things, not even close. And once again, as reported, if Donald Trump would, he was not charged with those 197 documents he returned in January of 22, he could have returned them all and never have been charged. Presumably, why not charge him on the 197? Talk about Mike Pence. Well, Mike Pence, when they asked him, they give him back. Talk about Joe Biden. When they just found him, they looked, they gave him back. What did Trump do? He gave some back. And then apparently, according to the reporting today, enlisted his own attorney in an effort to potentially, what, obstruct justice by, what, plucking out some documents if they think they're really bad, destroying evidence? Hey, you're my attorney. Want to help me destroy some evidence? I mean, that does not bode well. So, I get it. There's a lot of freak out going on. But remember, these are different cases. And let me just get to the whole political politicization of the Justice Department. I mean, looking under Donald Trump, what, he had Jeff Sessions for a while, then he had a couple, you know, he had some temporary guy before Bill Barr came on, wrote him a letter and got. So And with those, at least three, maybe there's more I don't recall, don't have Crudy here from my memory, they didn't go after Hillary. Why not? You're going to tell me in 1 second that if Hillary Clinton, it was found out, had boxes and boxes, and she was negotiating with the archives to give some of these boxes back and didn't, and then after, a year and a half, that they would not have gone after her? You don't think they would have done that in the same situation? Hell, you don't think that the Donald Trump Justice Department tried to find something on Hillary? I mean, he ran for president on the lock her up platform. That was it.
4 years.
For years, lock her up. And if there was anything there, and I would submit to you, she probably lost that election because of the server. So while maybe not criminal, maybe not intentional, she lost an election because of it. And Donald Trump was a big reason for that because he kept on hammering, lock her up, lock her up. You know, all these secret documents. And what does he go and do? I mean, the projection is just so plain. It's right in front of your face. Is he saying it? He's doing it. And that's exactly what he did. And he had the opportunity over and over and over again to return the documents that did not belong to him. And he declined to do so. He obstructed the investigation. His actions from A to Z are the only reason why a group of his fellow citizens in the great state of Florida decided there was enough evidence to indict his ass. 844-967-2789. I think that's all the sound. Thank you for your patience. Some little background there. Let's get back to the phones. Beth from Indiana, you're welcome. Welcome, Beth. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. Good to talk to you again. Hey, I want to let everybody know, in case you do get into these arguments or you have a coworker or a relative who says, well, I don't know, this looks pretty political to me. There's an easy way to this document, this indictment is very understandable. It's not put in legalese. It's very understandable. And guess what? On the podcast called Prosecuting Donald Trump, and also on the podcast that Ari Melber from The Beat puts out, Ali Velshi gets on there and reads it to you, all 49 pages, just straight through. And it's very understandable. Yep. And it's great. I listened to it yesterday. And here's what's amazing. I've been following this like you have, and I didn't think I could be shocked. But here's what's shocking, and here's the two points you really need to emphasize to anyone who's trying to stick up for Trump. Number one, we're not talking about memorabilia documents. We're talking about the most, like Barr just said, the most serious secrets, nuclear and defense programs for our allies and our enemies, nuclear and defense programs for the United States, places that we are vulnerable, how we would react if different countries. I mean, the basic one-sentence description of these documents is in the indictment, and he just reads through the list about towards the middle of the podcast, and it's shocking as all get out. And what you got to ask yourself is, why did he want to? Also, the other thing that's very clear from that indictment is that Trump himself went to great lengths to know exactly what was in here and what he wanted to keep and what he wanted to hide. And there was a lot of machinations and text messages and phone calls between him and this Nauta guy and another employee who apparently turned state's evidence, all moving the boxes around and then fooling the lawyers and fooling everybody. And he went through those boxes himself. That was emphasized again and again.
Beth, got to cut you short. They're running out of time. Thank you for your call. Yes, most serious documents, also the most valuable. We are the Devil's Advocates. One more segment, 844-967-2789. Come back with us.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you stick around for the Maggie Dawn show. She's coming up next here on the Civic Media Network. So I'm going to take some callers so she doesn't have to. CJ, I'm taking the bullet for her. CJ, welcome. What do you got for us today?
Oh, don't worry. Maggie won't take my call anyway. hey, happy birthday, Crudy. And you share a birthday with the one I love.
Come on, man.
Honest, you do. You know, this is an independent libertarian voter. I'm going to support the Republican nominee, whoever that is, no matter who it is. You know, but don't you guys feel guilty and Civic Radio feel guilty for not telling the whole story? You don't find it ironic the same day they find out the 1023 form from that was hidden by Ray for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If something comes out, CJ, I would be very listen to me. If you're talking about Fox News reporting on something from Burisma, you know, planted by who knows what or what the deal is, I'm gonna let that one flush out, man. We'll see what happens. Here's my consistency.
Okay.
Let me just tell you. Here's my consistency. If it is fact found that Joe Biden took $5 million and, you know, payoffs, here's my point. Prosecute him, man. Okay. Now you play along with me.
Well, here's the
thing. Play along with me, CJ. If Hillary Clinton had all these kinds of documents like Donald Trump did, would you think that she would be justified? It would be justifiable to prosecute her for doing so?
Well, they never got a chance because Comey lied.
Play along with me. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think that this is a justifiable prosecution of Donald Trump?
I think it's potentially it's very troubling, and I'm okay with that. But here's the thing. There is a dual sense of justice, the way they did it, the way it's been handled.
Oh, I absolutely disagree with you, man. Okay. These are totally separate cases. Well, I mean, Joe Biden gave the documents back, right? Pence, the Republican, gave the documents back. Donald Trump could have given the documents back. He gave some back, but then he hung on to the rest. He hung on to the most serious, the most valuable one, CJ. And then he asked his attorney to help him in trying to break the law, so much so that they were able to pierce the client attorney privilege, CJ, that a judge looked at and says, oh, damn. Yes, absolutely. CJ, so he's dead to rights on that. Do you think if this comes out, he has a right to a defense, CJ, innocent until proven guilty. But if this comes out and even any of these, as Bill Barr said, turn out to be accurate, that he asked his attorneys to help him.
Believe in Barr. Right? I know. Can I say one thing?
Well, I just want to know, are you down with the prosecution if these things come out to be true?
Well, I already said that it's very troubling.
That's not the point. No, what you're saying is very troubling. Of course it's very troubling. Hillary Clinton having a private email server to me, CJ, was very troubling. Her attitude about wiping it with a cloth was very troubling to me, man. So she lost my vote because of it. But I'm looking for consistency under the law, CJ. And you know damn well with Donald Trump and his Justice Department, if he had the ability under Sessions or the other guy or Barr to go after her, he absolutely would have. But they didn't because he didn't have anything, CJ.
How about the China facility, man?
How about this and how about that? The guy's caught dead to rights, man. And if you're going to support the Republican, no matter what, you may very well be supporting someone who despises the Constitution, someone who flouts law and order. And if you think that's, you know, that's what you want to do, CJ, then that's fine. But that's who you are then. You become that person. You are now justifying that behavior. You are part of it, man. Just like you were when he came in. 844-967-2789. Few more callers here. Let's get to them. Jeannie, you're our up. Welcome, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, happy birthday to Crudy. Happy birthday to you this week.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Okay, I've been listening to you for a very long time, and you really did enough. Thank you for sharing today. You know, I've watched you guys listened to you guys grow, and you've just been just wonderful, and I'm so thankful that you're now in Eau Claire, and this is outstanding. Today I've been really a crabby woman because of what I've seen the Republicans do with this information. They were supposed to be national security, tough on crime, you know, all these things. You know, and this guy committed crimes. The evidence is there. A jury indicted him. And in this BS of trying to, you know, turn your attention to something else, I mean, people need to look at that document. If they need to listen to Ari Melber, do it. There's other places where you can look at the document yourself.
Just go online and read it. I mean, it's not difficult. American people, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Go read a freaking document. It's not that hard. You don't need anyone to read it for you. It's very plain English. Don't be scared because of the paragraphs and the indentation. It's very simple. It's double-spaced. You'll be just fine.
Thank you very much for the work that you're doing. Keep it up. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, Jenny. Thank you for the call and support, as always, 844-967-2789. Jim from Madison, you're up. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Well, everyone's a criminal, you know. I just think I love that argument. Everyone's a criminal. Why are we going after him? Anyway, I got a question is, why aren't people, maybe they are, and I'm just not paying attention because I live, you know, I work for a living, but I haven't heard anybody talking about these three women that were found in Mar-a-Lago, one Russian, two Chinese, one they don't even know why she was there, but she had all this documentation and like three passports and a computer and all this like copying stuff. And
is that, there was something like pretending to be a Rothschild or something along those lines, Jim? Was that the one you're talking about?
Yes. Well, I think that's the Russian. There were two Chinese women that were, but my point is that he had these in a totally unsecure place. They knew it. I just don't get it. Why people aren't nervous about this.
Well, I think don't Jim, and thanks for the call, man. I'll get one more caller before we wrap up. I think people are nervous about it. And honestly, dude, I think people are very nervous about what the answer most likely is. You know, that's discerning to have a former president potentially selling the nation's secret to the highest bidder. We don't know. We don't know the motivation. The indictment does not address motivation. Perhaps stuff, you know, more evidence will come out during the trial. But I think everyone's asking the question. I just think a lot of people are afraid of the answer. Dynamo Dave, you will have the last word today. What do you got for us?
Oh, hey, Governor Dom, how you doing?
Good, man. Good, man. You got like 45 seconds. What do you got?
Okay. Well, real quick. Hey, though, remember the nine people in the Trump administration, including Jared Kushner, they were doing private email servers.
They certainly were.
They didn't go out. They never said lock those people. Nikki Haley's one of them. Nikki Haley should be running around saying lock her up, lock her up. And the funny thing is, why is it the Republicans, they always want to do this constitutional stuff. They don't want to have due process. They're like, lock her up. Where's the due process in that case?
Right. And right now, Dave, Trump is getting his due process. I imagine there's a whole lot more due process coming down for Donald Trump. Folks, thank you for hanging out with me today. Thank you for allowing me to share a little bit of myself. I hope you come back every day 4 to 6, but may have to stay around a little bit longer. Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show coming up next. Stick around.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green